Blog Talk Radio.
From the Boomer and the Babe studio at the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's time for Success or Failure with Tom and Terry. Success or Failure is the show that gives you methods and principles to guide you to your best business and your best self. Now here are Tom Legering and Terry Munthers.
Hello. Hello and welcome to Success or Failure with Tom and Terry. I'm Dr. Terry Munther, along with author and entrepreneur Tom Legering. Each month, we get together on this program to discuss and share ideas for meeting personal and financial goals and improving the quality of our lives. We'll talk about the tried and true concepts found in the book Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, and maybe we'll hear from business partners and guests about their projects, success stories, and how they're finding their path to a happy, healthy, and successful life. We hope you'll join in the conversation by calling or emailing us and giving us your thoughts or comments at blogtalkradio.com/boomerandbabe or www.successorfailure.org. So welcome all, and welcome Tom from Las Vegas, correct?
Yes, I'm up here attending the National Golf Course Owners Association, trying to get golf back online and so that it can keep doing things to help promote the charity events that we have at our country club. So have to find out how we can get more people involved in golf so that we can develop more money. It's just like the Thunderbirds in Phoenix have raised $75 million to help local charities. And that's really one of the things that we're working on very hard with Success or Failure. The choice is yours, is to raise money so that we can help autistic kids. So I'm working with a lot of owners from all over the country, in fact, all over North America, Mexico, U.S., and Canada. So there's a lot of things going on here. If I'm a little talked out, you might figure out why. I've been jabbering for 3 days now. So I understand that we weren't able to get our guest today. There was a communication problem with that, I guess.
Yeah, a scheduling and communication problem. We were hoping to have City of Phoenix Councilman from District 6, Sal, the CTO, here today to talk about the work that we're all trying to do on domestic violence. And I know, Tom, you and I have been working at Eve's Place and other nonprofits to try to work on that problem of domestic violence. And we were hoping the councilman could join us today. But again, the time frame just did not work out. We'll hope to have him potentially on another show and maybe next month's show to talk about what he is doing and some of the legislation that may be going off in that area. I know that was one of his goals as he came onto the city council, both back in the 90s and in present day. So I was anxious to ask him about some of the initiatives, but I know we'll have time to do that. You know, so I think we can focus still, Tom, you know, our show today on the two issues that you and I are really working on, as well as the Success or Failure, the Choice is Yours trainings, and the book itself. What we're using any funding that comes in from that for is to assist both the victims of domestic violence and also helping autistic kids. And they're two separate programs, certainly, and maybe we can spend some time on each one, Tom. Starting with the domestic violence, and I know you're still doing some teaching at Eve's Place. We had the director of Eve's Place on last month, Laura, and that was a really informative show. You know, and just some of the things, again, for people to remember, and then I hope, Tom, you'll kind of join in again with some of the work you're doing there, continuing work you're doing there. One in every four women will experience domestic violence in their lifetimes. You know, that's a phenomenal statistic from the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. 1.3 million women are victim of physical assault by an intimate partner every year. And then if you look at the children, 30 to 60% of those children within a domestic violence household are also abused children. And, of course, their risk factors go up tremendously. And then, again, one of the questions I wanted to talk with the councilman about is if we just look at the economic impact of domestic violence, the cost of intimate partner violence exceeds $5.8 billion each year, $4.1 billion of which is for direct medical and mental health services. You know, so both at the women's level, the family level, and our economic level, this is a huge problem, and I hope that we can continue to work with our politicians and our community leaders to work on the problem. But in the meantime, we're doing what we can do as well, as we talked with Laura Horsley. And Tom, you might talk just a minute again about the work you're doing on this subject.
Well, that you're exactly right. What we're trying to do is work with shelters that provide immediate assistance and help the victims get their lives started again. But what we've found is most of them have a time frame. You have to have your life together in 4 months, or you have to have your life together in X amount of time. And there's not a program for that. So one of the things I was looking at is, because we're teaching at Eve's Place, where, by the way, the victims, according to Laura, the director of that institute, said that three are going there and having our class. Only 10% of the victims were getting employment after they left, primarily because they're just not in a mental state where they can go do that. And then with teachings that we've been doing, the ratio went up to over 70%, from 10 to 70%. And it's just an extremely high thing, of which I'm very proud of. But the main thing is we're telling the people that it's okay to be themselves. They're not this beat-down person. And basically I teach them 10 two-letter words, which is, if it is to be, it is up to me. And then I teach them the other side of that. When you recognize your predator, not the same one, but these people go into these relationships repetitively. I talked to one lady that was in one for over 15 years, and she says, oh, I'm doing it because of the kids. No, that's not good for the kids to be in that kind of a relationship. So they're, you know, she finally got it figured out. She figured out what she needed to do to get a job and move on. So, and then we offer post-counseling, which I do via internet, because I don't want to be a vehicle where their predator can ever find them. Because one of the things is, some of these predatory things lead to total violence, which is death. I mean, when the person loses his control, then he keeps trying to get it, and he proceeds to up the ante, as it were, and be more violent and more destructive. And you just have to figure some way to help them break out of that. And so that's really what that's what that program is doing for Eve's Place. But what we're doing with over at Turtle Leaf, which is a totally different kind of a situation, they allow the people to stay longer, and they are getting them to get employed, and they're really working through a lot of the issues that they have. Well, they actually have a person that's trying to teach the people how to get back into life and figure out where their shortcomings are, recognize your strengths, and then you have to also recognize your weaknesses. And what we do with the book is take people to define what success means to them, monetize it, so that they can figure out, oh yes, I want to have this big fancy car, but I don't have the skills to earn that much money. So maybe I could ratchet that down and not be a consumer, but be a producer. What a concept for America, right? And then they can figure out how they want to live their life so they have balance. So it's not just chasing money or that, because then you don't have time with your kids, but you're only going to have the time with your kids really in their formative years. And so after that, you have to make sure you can take care of yourself. So I start with it just like being on an airplane, where when the oxygen mask comes down in turbulent air, the mom is to put the mask on her first, the kid second. You got to protect yourself so you can protect your child. And this is part of what we're doing. And when I'm working with Turnaleaf, the person there, Angelina, is a very skilled teacher, but she didn't have the tools that we're offering. So she's been sitting in on our classes, and now she's able to take over the classes every other week. And so we do go to the classes, and we try to teach them, but I'm finding that being a teacher of the teachers so that they can learn how to do this is going to go a long way to aiding these people. So I think that the work that Sal is doing, and if we can tie in with the government projects, we'll be doing very well.
Well,
I didn't mean to go rambling so much.
Nope.
I'm very excited about it.
You obviously aren't talked out, though, Tom. So that's a good thing. What's always interesting is, as you mentioned it briefly, and what we're doing both with these folks as well as what we do with business partners and business trainings, it's the same concepts, and that's really about developing a plan. You know, I've said before on this show when I was doing some of those classes for the victims of domestic violence, what we heard most often was, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do tomorrow. And, you know, if you talk to a person who's trying to change jobs or start a new career or decide what to do in retirement, the same question. You know, I'm not sure where to start. And so, as you say in the book and as we say in the trainings, and again, what we do with these folks, and it follows through really for anyone, is we've got to start. We have to project our thoughts and really do some serious thinking about how can we visualize what it is we want 5 years from now, 1 year from now, 6 months from now, and then what do I do tomorrow? What do I do today that starts me on that path one step at a time? And then, of course, we get to in the trainings about, okay, so we're making progress, and what happens when we come to the roadblocks? What happens when a crisis happens, and how do we work through that and get back on the path? And so really, whether we're doing it as a business plan, whether we're doing it as a life plan, whether we're working with people who are homeless or victims of domestic violence or six-figure business people who are looking for a new opportunity, it's very much the same in the sense that we have to visualize what it is we want and work backwards from there, step by step, day by day, and develop a written, thoughtful plan. And really, that's what we're doing with these folks.
Oh, you're absolutely right. See, when we first got started, it was just to sell books and raise money for autistic kids. And where it's going is into each one of these different groups, like when we were teaching homeless vets, you know, and helping one of the gentlemen just who wanted to be around horses and not people. And we found out how easy that was to do, to get him to have what he wanted, get him off the street, get him doing what he wanted, and actually performing the function that an owner or a business person needed done, but by somebody that loves that position. I mean, just what a concept. But that's really what we're talking about, is how do you put these things together. And that's one of the things that I'm working with now is a group that's putting a company together called Armed Zilla, which is a website that's going to be a community that brings all the veteran groups. There's 400,000 veteran groups in the U.S. helping veterans, but they are not tied together. And they finally got the State Department to recognize them, and the Pentagon and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So we're working to be able to, because they said, well, we're working with these companies that are going to hire these veterans, and that isn't that wonderful? And I said, no. What are you doing that's going to prepare these veterans to go get a job at Intel. Oh, let's see, what's your training and your skills? I'm 22, my leg is gone, and I can shoot a 50 caliber machine gun. You know, how do you get that person's mind out of that high adrenaline lifestyle into the real world that we're supposed to cherish and that these people fought and gave up parts of their body for, plus their lives? So these are the things that I'm finding the book is able to reach into and help. I mean, it's really an uplifting thing. I mean, we're getting so many benefits from doing this. You know,
if I heard you right, what you were saying is you're actually working with several groups that actually may be coming together and communicating and working together rather than duplicating each other's efforts. I mean, that's a concept in itself. You know, we have all these programs, and what we need, whether we're talking about domestic violence or whether we're talking about how we help veterans or how we help autistic kids or you name it, there are so many foundations, so many nonprofits, so many government programs, whether they be grants or assistance. And wouldn't it be wonderful if you can garner all of those resources that work together, communicate together, and don't duplicate the efforts, but organize the efforts?
Exactly. Exactly. Everybody's trying to reinvent a wheel, but they didn't even have a wheel that they were thinking about. And that's really what we're showing people is a very simple way to get people started. And it works for every person. I mean, whether you're a person in need or if you're just a person searching for how you want your life to be run, you know, by yourself. I mean, what do you want from it? Instead of thinking, well, what do I have to do for everybody else? You got to start with yourself and figure out if you take care of yourself and you become productive, then and only then can you help other people. Because, Terry, yeah, you know yourself, when we go to these meetings and we ask people, well, what do you want to do? And here's a person that's been beaten, I mean, physically and mentally for years sometimes. And you say, what do you want to do? Oh, I just want to help other people.
Yeah.
Well, how do you plan to do that? Well, I didn't think of that yet.
Right.
You know, how do you take them from what they're thinking and give them a program where they can put that thought process down, and it doesn't take, you know, a lot of money, and it doesn't take, it just takes a lot of effort on the individual's part where they can unlearn some things, because a lot of times we're told that, you know, we're told by the people that we're working with, well, I didn't know that, I was never taught that. Well, what, that you need to be responsible and you need to take care of yourself first and you need to be a productive person, you know, but they, and usually they were told when they were younger, you're not worth a hill of beans and, you know, you'll never amount to anything. And so they live in their life that way.
Well, I think the other thing, and again, it's not just with these folks we're working with, but everyone, when I look at one of the issues, you know, and I say, you know, what is it you want to be? What is it you want to do? And they would give that answer. And then again, as I said, you ask the question, what are you going to do about that tomorrow? And let's say we can even get by tomorrow. One of the next issues, then, what about the next day and the next day and being consistent? And aren't we all in that way sometimes? And I do that with exercise. You know, I know where I want to be with my exercise goal. And I'm going to start tomorrow, and I do, and then I'm going to go the next day, and I do, and, you know, what happens after a couple of weeks? I'm not staying on my path. You know, that's why sometimes people need personal trainers, or they need coaches or assistants, and that's kind of what you're giving these people, and people can check in, and you can help get them right back on the path. But we all need that help. I mean, we have to take the time to start, to develop our plan, to develop our to-do list, and start knocking them off. But it really takes stick-to-itiveness, and that's a skill that the more that we can build, and I'm talking about all of us as well as the women we've worked with in the domestic violence program, as well as the veterans, the key is sticking to that plan, and potentially that means having someone help you and guide you to get back on track when you stray a bit. And so I think that's an important thing, too, is start, develop the plan, stick to the plan, develop consistency, and then make sure you've got someone, as I've talked to many times, as you know, I told you, is kind of your co-pilot or your reserve parachute, that when some crisis happens, you've got someone there that can put you back on the path.
That is, Terry, that is so important, because it's like New Year's resolutions. You know,
yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm not going to allow this to happen to me again. I'm going to take control of my life. But they don't do anything that even vaguely resembles that kind of action. And they all start out with these great things. So what we try to do is get them to start physically writing this stuff down and address it almost like a diary or just journaling is what the terms are now, where you figure out what is it that you want and analyze really what your skills are. See, and that's so hard for people that have been beat down because they've been told they're at the bottom of the barrel. They're terrible. They're subhumans, and that's why I have to beat you because you're so bad. And you know, how do you get them up out of that? And it's really like I'll sit and have people sit in my class for 2 or 3 weeks. They have their arms folded and their heads down, and I'll ask them questions. They'll totally ignore me. And about the third or fourth week, they start saying, well, that won't work because of this. That's what they're thinking. They're thinking about it. And I said, well, explain that. How does that, and it's not how does that make you feel, it's how does that work for you? I mean, is that working? Is that getting you what you want? And like I say to people, you can have anything you want, or you can have your excuses why you don't have it, because that's your plan. I can't have anything, so that's my plan. Okay.
Well, you're very successful.
Yes, go ahead.
When someone starts the sentence off, you know, we can't because, you know, then creativity is automatically shut off.
Yes.
You know,
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
the road to potential solutions is shut off because you've already come up with why we can't, you know.
Yes.
Hey, I want to transition from our work with the victims of domestic violence with kind of this closure, and if you have any last thing, and then let's talk about your program on autism. But again, we're hoping to have the councilman, David, I'm hoping I'm saying his name right, Councilman Sal DiCiccio with us to talk about, again, initiatives and some of the things that are going on with city council and in other political venues that will help our victims of domestic violence. We've stated the problem. We're trying to do what we can, and we hope we can continue to do more and work with our community leaders. But again, there are sobering statistics when one in every four women will experience domestic violence, and 1.3 million women are victims. And, of course, it's still one of the most underreported crimes, as Laura said last month. So it's very important work. I am proud of the work we have done, proud of the work we're going to continue to do in that arena. And we would ask anyone who has solutions or can help buy the book to support these programs, or again, as we offer training to other business partners in along these lines, that you would give us a call or contact us at our www.thechoicesuccessorfailurethechoiceisyours. Anything else on that front?
Successorfailure.org.
They
contact us. www.successorfailure.org. And that's how they can get in touch with us. And I do, I'm still doing between 400 and 650 emails a day trying to answer people's questions. This basically is a free service that we're doing right now, and we're trying to get people trained up so that they can handle some of these things, because it is a simple process. It's not just something that I know or you know. It's something that can be taught. You can be taught just like a kid they learn most of their stuff before they can speak. I mean, they're constantly, their brains are like a clear slate on a computer, and you just download data into it. And, you know, so our minds can be nurtured no matter how old you are. I'm 73, and I'm still learning stuff. I learn stuff every day. I mean, it's just amazing. But to back to your point about Sal, I really am eager for him to come on because I want to see how people can help him promote his program, you know, and can people volunteer to help, and what skills do they need? And then if our show can do anything to help his program, that I think he can be contacted through City Council. I don't have his email with me from here. But
if you look up Phoenix City Council, it's right there with his
contact.
I checked it out, and you know, I wanted a little background on the councilman, and he's an interesting guy. He has served back in the 90s and has now been appointed again in 2009, I believe. And so he's certainly a person with experience that would be interesting to talk with on that topic. But let's move to another program, Tom, because I want you to talk more about it. It's undergone some changes, but it's continuing to thrive and grow and help autistic kids. You know, doing a little bit more research on autism, and of course as a former educator and working with autistic children in school districts, I am always constantly amazed by the statistics. You know, one in every 91 children in the United States has autism, and that's from the American Academy Pediatrics report.
It's amazing.
1 million individuals in the U.S. have autism, and its figures are growing. You know, more children will be diagnosed with autism this year than with AIDS, diabetes, and cancer combined. It's the fastest-growing serious developmental disability in the United States. And again, if we go to our economic costs, let alone, again, the kids and families, it costs the nation $35 billion per year. It's amazing to help, and that's not enough, obviously. And so those are staggering statistics. We've got to help these kids. We've got to help these people and help these families. And I'm very proud to be associated with some of the things that you're doing in helping autistic kids, even if it's in a small way, doing what we can to support these efforts. So, Tom, if you would take just a minute to talk about the Helping Autistic Kids program at Sun City Country Club.
Thank you. The Sun City Country Club has developed the first golf program for autistic kids in the country. It's where our goal is to be able to teach the kids social skills and motor skills. It's the only thing that they can do. And what we do is we have developed a four-hour class. It's 1 hour at a time on consecutive Saturdays, and we have PGA pros work with the kids. We get high school students that need community service to help their little resumes, and they actually do this to help give back to their communities. And they come out, and they're the mentor for the person, and the pros work with 10 kids. It's an absolute free program to the parents. All they have to do is bring their child to our facility. The child's introduced to the mentor and introduced to the pro, and we go out and we teach them. We're not teaching them to be golfers, and that's what a lot of people say. Oh, you just want to do this to have people come and play golf at your golf course. The point is, it's the only place that these kids get an opportunity to intermingle with other people that have their same things, but the teaching of autistics is totally different from teaching just regular special needs kids, because the range in their ability to understand and adapt is so much different than, I mean, my coming into contact with this, which I mentioned before, is with a lady that had twins born as autistics. They were told that the son is a daughter and a son. The son was going to be, excuse the expression, he was going to be in a house. I mean, he was going to have to be taken care of for the rest of his life. And the mom said, that's not going to happen to my kid. So she stopped her life and went to the class and told the teachers, I'm sitting in this class with my kid. You teach, I discipline. And that's, I mean, because that's really how the laws are written. And she had the right to do that. The class, they all said, no, you got to go to special needs. She says, no. And like, they moved over to Phoenix, Arizona, went to Centennial High School District over there to the high school, and where they don't allow bullying. They're absolutely 100% against bullying. The two kids wind up being full ride scholarships to University of Arizona on their merits. I mean, this is, they're A students now. These kids are so amazing. And to see you take a person and give them the love and attention that they need. Now, are they always going to be autistic kids? Yes. They've just learned how to deal with their situation. They've connected a lot of dots in their brain. And this is why we think that our program is so unique, is that we're actually giving them the ability to socialize. Because I watched these kids when they as they grew up, and it was a very hard thing because other kids shunned them. I mean, you can think back to your own high school days, and if you're not the biggest, fastest, and driving a car, you're like nothing, and you're not in the in-group and all that kind of stuff. It's bad enough being totally regular other than that, right? But here's these kids that are autistics that act different. They don't interact as well as other kids, and so they're shunned. And how do you get social skills when now parents have to give their kids basically 7 24-hour attention? They can't just let them, I'll be home after work tonight, dear. Make yourself some lunch. I mean, they have to give up their lives to do this. And what we're able to do now is work with the kids themselves and give them some kind of self-respect and give them some kind of little avenues where they can develop their motor skills and they can develop their social skills. And that's why we do it for 1 hour classes that are different. And so when parents bring the kids, we go take them out on the golf course, not to play golf, but they go into the practice areas and we have a class there. And then the parents get to sit up on the patio and watch. They cannot be down with the kids, so the kid isn't like their little umbilical cord has been cut for this 1 hour. And they get totally engrossed in what they're doing. And guess what? It gives the parents a little 1 hour of, little rest. You know, I mean, my brain can stop, you know, while somebody's actually taking care of my child and helping them. And that's what we're doing at the club. And I have two PGA professionals, one of which has been teaching for 35 years, was a teacher in school, was a special needs teacher, and the other one has put on several special needs classes, and he's a 25-year PGA pro. So we have the talent, and we have the ability. We just got to raise some money. I mean, I funded the first several of these classes out of my own pocket, and because a lot of times I donate the books and there's not money to do it. But you know, that's just what we're trying to do, and we think it's a great program, and we're actually seeing results. We do have if people go to our website, which is successorfailure.org. www.successorfailure.org. They can read a letter that one of the moms wrote after her child had gone through the class and just thanked us profusely for actually giving him some self-confidence and giving him a reason for being alive. I mean, he just really was taken up by, they're very smart. A lot of them are very, very smart people. They just don't know how to use it.
They're just tremendous individuals, both the kids.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because it takes so much work and I always have so much pride, both for the parents and professionals who work with all special needs kids, but with autistic kids, so patient and yet so giving. And it's wonderful to hear the success stories, both from the parental success stories as well as an educator to hear, you know, how kids do well in school. And I know educators and parents are doing the very best they can. But this is an interesting little program in that it's different in one way, in that it's outside of the school setting. It's in a social setting. It's about working with kids in something that they may not do otherwise. I mean, many parents would not think about golf as a great activity for their autistic child, but it is a way to acquire additional and improve social skills and motor skills, and again to work within structure and rules and goals. And so it's a wonderful program, and I know that people have been trained to assist these kids. Talk a little bit about, if a parent is interested in this, again, how do they get their child enrolled in the Sun City Country Club program?
All they have to do is contact me at the club. It's Tom at the little at sign, suncitycountryclub.org, and say you have a child, and let me know what the age. I mean, we're trying to take the kids, like, between... You know, they have to be a little bit older, so maybe 5 to 12 to 15 in that age group. But there's special arrangements for special people. So, you know, if there's a – I'm not going to say, oh, you missed it by one day, you can't be in the class. So it's a free service. All they have to do is contact me, tell me they want to be in, and then we will let them know we're going to start the classes this year between May and October at our club. And we'll have them early in the morning when it's not too hot. I mean, that's everybody's opinion of heat. But the idea is that you get the kids out and just let them know that it's a fun thing. They actually look forward to doing this. And a lot of these kids don't have anything they do look forward to. You see that? You see what the beauty of it is that they're out, they're in nature, they're doing stuff just like other people. What a concept.
Yeah.
So, and they're starting to learn, and they learn some social things, because an autistic just wants you to explain. You cannot say, go to your room and clean it. I mean, they will go crazy because there's so many steps that you missed out on. You and I would know what that means, but they don't know what that means. And so you can only give them one job, go here and do this, now you're finished, go over and stand here and watch and learn from what these other people are doing. So you build up their confidence, and it's just a wonderful program.
Yeah. So, and again, it takes into consideration that, you know, all kids and all autistic kids are at different levels of that spectrum that you just talked about. You know, you're going to have kids who function much higher in certain areas than other kids, and that deal with things differently. But the neat thing about this also, again, as a former educator, as I look through the program, is it's going to be small groups, probably of 10 or less.
10, yeah.
Yep. And you've got...
We like 10.
Yeah, you've got two professionals. And so the kids are going to get individualized attention, and some real one-on-one time in small groups like that. And so wherever that child may be in their ability, whether it be in motor skills or social skills, that's where they start, and they'll move on from there. So it's a fantastic program. You know, I applaud you and Sun City Country Club. I'm hoping, whether it's this show or through other efforts, that people will either donate to the program outright or buy your book, Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, and then, of course, proceeds from that will go to funding this program as well. But it's another worthwhile program that, not to repeat those statistics that I already did, but those are huge numbers of kids and families in our country and in our region being affected by this disease, and it's growing. And so anything that we can do to offset that, to help the kids and to provide more service, that's really what it's about.
That's what we have this radio show for. That's what why I wrote the book. I won't say that's why I wrote the book, but that's what the book is doing. It's actually showing up to be in help in so many different ways. It's not just going to help a person. It goes to help a lot, like families, which build, you help the individual who can help the family, who can help the community, which basically helps our country. And that's what it's got to be. It's got to be people up.
Exactly. So, well, the two topics, you know, that I wanted to address today and that you have, you know, what we're doing and how much more we can do on the domestic violence issue and to help victims of domestic violence. And again, we'll hope that we get the councilman for a future show to talk more about that and that we can continue to work more on that. And then also on the other topic was the autism and the program that you've initiated for helping autistic kids through the game of golf. And so, you know, I hope those two or one of those two or both affects people in a way that they feel that they can donate and give and or assist in any way possible, again, by contacting us at the website or on this show. But those were my two topics, Tom, unless you've got anything exciting. That's kind of a silly question if I say, do you have anything exciting from Las Vegas? But anything else you'd like to add?
This is just work, and the fun part of it is I got to ride my motorcycle up here, and I found out that the guys, from the time they left their house to the time they got to the hotel, was about 5 hours and 10 minutes, and I made it in 4 hours and 15 minutes, so, and I had more fun. So,
I hope you guys are meeting in somebody's business office, and you know why. It's because when people who work in a business office go to a conference or on a vacation, they go to a golf course. So I'm just assuming that golf course owners, when they go to a conference or on vacation, should go to somebody's business office.
No, what we want, because everybody is here from all over North America, and so I just talked to some gentlemen from Ottawa, and we talk over what their problems are and how they're trying to solve them. A lot of times people have no idea how to solve them, and then we talk about how we're working to solve problems at our club, and just having you come and be a member is very potent thing that I like to mention. I mean, we are trying to market to five different generations of people. Just because we're in Sun City doesn't mean we're old fogies. We may be old fogies, but we don't have to think that way.
That's right. And we're getting younger fogies as we go, though.
Yeah. And we're starting to attract people to see that we're really being progressive, and retirement isn't dying. You know, retirement is doing. Yeah. And how can you take your life that you and all the life lessons you learned and put them into as concise a manner that you can, so that it benefits you, yourself, your family, and your community? And that's what I think we're doing with Sun City. It just I think it's really a great thing.
My wife and I, we actually got out of town for a couple days just 2 days ago. We decided we needed to get out of town just to take a break from retirement. You know, we have so many activities. There's something every day around here. There's so many activities. We've made good friends both at your golf course and club, as well as in the community. And you know, the baby boomers are certainly coming in great numbers, and those people are 55 to whatever, 65, 75, and it's just fun as everyone retires and comes into an active lifestyle for retirement, and that's what really it's all about here. But I'll tell you what, I have never been so busy for many, many years. It seems like there's something every day, all day, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and it's a very productive way of life. You know, like I say, my wife she's finally got into physical exercise. I mean, she's 74 now. Probably doesn't want me to say that, but she's 74, And I mean, she's a gym rat. I mean, I have to go pry her out of the gym. You know,
that's
so, well, I have to do my exercises, you know, and so it's just a whole different thing. I mean, there's that kind of, you take care of your physical body so you enjoy your life as you go through it. And at this stage where we're actually looking, how do we actually give back? You know, what's our some quota in, as I said in the book, you know, what's the epitaph you want on your tombstone? And people go, oh, I don't want to think of that kind of stuff. But that's what your life is. What do you want to say when you're gone? So
yeah,
this is kind of what we're up to. But anyway, I guess we can kind of close a little bit early today. I got to get to some meetings.
Yeah, you better get back to work.
Yeah, I will have contact Saul and see if I can get in touch with him and get this thing straightened out. So we'll work on it for next month. And I think our audience will just really enjoy having him because he is really doing a lot to help people. So I guess with that, we can just tell people if you want to help us, you can donate time, you can donate money, you can donate service. We are able to put anything that you have to work to better our local community. And you could build one of these things in your own community. So wherever you're at, this is something there's need everywhere.
Right, and or any or all of the above. So
yes,
with that, we want to thank you for joining us on Success or Failure with Tom and Terry. And we hope you'll join us next month when we're live at 9 a.m. on the last Wednesday of the month, or you can join us anytime on www.blogtalkradio.com/Boomer and Babe. In the meantime, feel free to comment, join in the discussion by emailing us at successorfailure.org. That's www.successorfailure.org. And once again, this is Dr. Terry Munther and Tom Legering reminding you that success or failure, the choice is yours.
You've been listening to Success or Failure with Tom Legering and Terry Munther. Success or Failure is a Boomer and the Babe Enterprises radio production. Contact them at boomerandthebabe.com.